Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. Tonight we will be teaching a series on building a godly and mature relationship. I have joining me tonight is my husband, Bishop, Pastor Bobby Montgomery, and we are located in the beautiful city of Canton, Georgia. So if you are in the Canton area on Sundays, feel free to worship with us. We meet at 9550 Bells Ferry Road. That's in Canton, Georgia. The zip is 30114. We want to shout out to Pastor Overseer and Apostle Garrett Lord and Sister Gina Lord. They are some of the pastors affiliated with us. Tonight, as I said, we will be teaching on building a godly and mature relationship. And let me give you our call-in number, our guest call-in number. If you have questions or you just want some answers to some things, feel free to call in at 347-850-1415. Tonight we will be coming out of Genesis 24 and also Corinthians and Hebrews. So as we go along, we will give you the scripture. But I wanted to just bring out, first let's start off with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you tonight. We thank you for gathering us together tonight to partake of your word, Lord God. We know that we have listening audience out there. Some are broken. Some are hurting. Lord, some are just wanting to know your perfect will for their lives. So, Lord, tonight as we go forth and break the bread, part your word into their lives, we ask that you bring revelation, understanding, guidance to them, Lord, so they won't make the wrong choices when choosing a mate, or they won't make the wrong choices if they're already in a relationship. Lord God, we just want to thank you for this, and we give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And be sure to let me know if you can hear me. I know sometimes when we come in live, it's hard. Maybe the sound is not just right. So just let us know, saints. Okay. Tonight, we're covering building a godly, mature relationship. And the reason I keep emphasis on building, because something you build, you usually start from the ground and work your way up. So first of all, you got to make sure you got a solid foundation when you're building a godly and mature relationship. Well, you may say, well, I'm in a relationship. We have a strong relationship. It's not necessarily godly. Well, that's good for you. We're not here to cast no kind of condemnation on those, but we're here to impart to you from, what did I say, the word of God. Now, if you have a strong relationship, a good relationship, God bless you. I'm happy for you. But I see so many times in the body of Christ, our lifestyles, it does not demonstrate the love of Christ, in that we do some of the same things in our relationship as the world does. Excuse me. So what am I saying? We're going to teach you, and you already know some of this, some of the things we're teaching, but we're going to show you some examples of how you can build onto your godly relationship. Like I said before, Pastor, Bishop, and I, we've been married over 41 years. And when we started out, we never dreamed. I started out a young lady in the church, and he was called into the ministry. First, he started out as a ministry. And some of the older mothers, they taught us, they say, well, baby, you never know what God is grooming you for. Well, as a young woman, I didn't know that one day I would be a bishop's wife. I was just wanting to be saved, be saved with my husband, and raise our young family at that time. But what am I saying? You never know the path that God is setting you up for when you start off. It may not look like, you know, it's nothing but me and my husband, we got married, raised kids. But God said, no, I have a better plan. I have another plan for you. This is just the fundamentals of me building your relationship, because I see 40 years later, I'm going to walk you into this mature path that I have set before you. And also, it's not just a call of a bishop, but a bishop's wife have a responsibility as well. So our life need to be godly, unspotted from the world. That's why I feel that we do have some authority to bring you the word of God. Now, if you could go with me to Genesis 1 through 9, had to take a drink there. I'm going to be teaching on the marriage of Isaac. Now, as you know, when Sarah was getting ready to leave, she asked her husband, Abraham, she said, fine, I'm just paraphrasing. She said, I want you to find my son a wife. Now, you may say, well, why Isaac couldn't find his own wife? Well, it was customary back in that day where the leadership or the head, Abraham, was the patriarch of that family, so it was customary for them to find him a wife. Isaac was not a young man, but he was of age, you know, relatively a mature age, but that was customary in them days. What am I talking about? She said, find my son a wife. So the first thing Abraham did, he was at 140 years old, excuse me, my throat sometimes choke up. But Abraham at that time was 140 years of age, and his wife Sarah had passed on. She was dead. So what Abraham did, he went to one of the mature servants that he had. See, when you're seeking somebody about a spouse or you're thinking about marrying a spouse, you need to go to someone seasoned. You can't let everybody speak into your life about your relationship. I know when we was coming up, my husband wanted to, we called it courting back in the day. You may call it dating, I don't know. But the first thing he did, he had a good rapport with the people of the church. And I was a young girl, but they all had a good name about this young man. Oh, he's a good young man. You know, I met him at church. He was playing the bongo drum. And that particular night when I went to church, I didn't know that God had my Isaac or Abraham or whatever you want to say, but he was beating the drums. And part of me was still looking in the world, but God, just that particular night, he said, I want you to go to church tonight. So in obedience, didn't know that the Holy Spirit was leading me that night to find my mate, I got ready and went with my mom. And so the rest is history. He saw me, and he said God spoke to him, God spoke to me. We began to date, and we got married. So this is similar to how Abraham did. First he told his servant, he said, I want you to go and find my son a wife, a spouse. He said, but don't find a woman that come from the area of the Canaanites, because what he was saying, they still had a lot of practices, worldly practices that they were doing. So he said, when you find this young lady, make sure she comes from my kindreds, people that have know her or know of her family lineage. What am I saying? When you go looking for a mate, you don't want to go looking in an area where you know people don't have no kind of recognition of who Jesus is. There should be some kind of commonality. I'm not saying that they're perfect, but their background should have some kind of commonality with your background, meaning that there should be something you guys have in common. It's a sad thing to see two people get together and one person is pulling hard for God and the other person is pulling hard for the world. That can bring a division in that household. Because you want to go with the Lord. They said, no, I don't want. What is a sign? The first sign you should be looking at is, do we love God? Or do he profess? Or do he live what he professed? These are some of the signs that you should be looking at when you're looking for a mate. So the first thing Abraham did, he told his servant to go find the young lady. So his servant, you know, took the camels and some of the gold and some of the silver, because in that day when you would find somebody, you would give it to her household, wherever she come from, and you would give that as a gratitude. So they went and they found his wife, which she was at the, God had already set it up, but the servants asked the Lord, he said, Lord, he said, I want to make sure that I'm picking the right woman for my master. He said, my master Abraham been faithful to you, Lord. Now I'm just paraphrasing. He said, so, Lord, I want you to honor my master by finding his son a good wife. See, God had already heard his prayer. He said before he could even finish praying the prayer, Rebecca showed up. She was working. She was back in the days, the maidens, they would, you know, do servitude type of work. So she was giving the camel water. And so when the man walked up to the well, he asked her, did she have water? And she began to give the camel water, and she began to give him water. So God had already put in his heart, she's the one. And by the way, she was fair to look upon. You may say, well, God ain't into beauty, or God is into beauty. Your beauty may be inside. There might be a hidden beauty that attracts your man or your wife or your relationship to you, because God is going to touch that heart. See, God had already touched the servant's heart that this is the woman that I have for Abraham's son. So what God is saying, that there should, when I put it in your spirit, there should be something that agree with your spirit that this is the one. But how are you going to know that? Because we're going to teach on maturity. See, a baby, if he's immature, he just wants everything, anything, whenever. He'll cry for everything because he's not going to use discretion. He's not going to use knowledge on how he should seek out things. So a baby cry, baby won't, baby get. But God is saying, as a mature man or woman of God, everything you see may not necessarily be right for you. We're going to teach you how to wait on the Lord, how to trust in the Lord. Well, you may say, well, I'm old now, you know, I don't have a need for a man, but or a woman, or I don't need a relationship. Well, if you have purpose in your heart, that's good for you. But to those who said, well, I do want a mate, those who said, I am trusting God for a mate, but I want to do it God's way. Sometimes you're going to have to wait until God give you the release in your spirit. And let me say something else. A lot of times we get out of a relationship. How we get out of a relationship, we, remember I said, we start looking for another relationship. You haven't even healed from the first relationship. Give yourself, give your heart, give yourself time to heal from the first relationship. And if you're already married and there's been some division and things going on in your relationship, you need to set aside a time to fast and pray to ask God to heal those broken parts. Because God said he came to what? Mend the broken heart. God don't want you in a relationship and your heart been wounded, your heart been tore out, you're still grieved. God wants to heal you. God wants to make you whole. But give yourself time to heal. So as I said, when Rebecca came and she began to present the servants, you know, with the water, and she watered the camels and everything like that, first thing she did is went home and told her mom, I met this man. So the man said, where do you live at? She took him home to meet her family. And her brother's name was Laban. And he said, who are you? And he told him, well, we're some kind of kin, you know, 3-4 generations up, and we're related, and we wanted Rebecca to be our Isaac's wife. So what did he do? He said, she's of age. She can speak for herself. He said, do you want to go with them? And at her own will, she said yes. So what am I saying? No one forced her to join and go into this relationship. But because she already had it in her heart, she followed him. And notice he said she followed him. Now, this, we're not teaching no male domineering here, no dominance here or nothing like that. But all I can say is, as a Christian woman, there has to be some type of submissiveness to our husband. We need to be careful of who we speak to, who we allow to speak in our lives when we are seeking God for a spouse. God wants you to be whole. God wants you to be set free. But sometimes when we have wrong people speaking in our lives, then we start listening to the enemy, and that's what caused division in our homes. Amen? So what am I saying now? He said, so he went to her parents, well, her mom, because I guess her dad was deceased, and he asked them who she was, and they told God can use you in various areas. Okay? And then he said, Ephesians, I wanted to bring this out. He said, wives, place yourself, this is coming out of Ephesians, under your husband's authority as you have placed yourself under the Lord's authority. Like I said, we're not teaching male domination here, but we're teaching you as a wife, as a woman of God, you have to bring yourself under authority to this man that God gave you with. Now, if you're going to say, well, I don't think he heard from God, well, you married him. So what is that saying about you? Then I have to question you. If you say God told you to marry him, why wouldn't you submit yourself to the man that God placed in your life? Did you hear what I said about Rebecca? She freely went. Number one, Abraham told his servant, if she is not willing to go, don't force her to go. He said, let her go on her own free will. So in a relationship that God has ordained, there shouldn't be any type of power struggle. It shouldn't be your way all the time, or there should be some kind of agreement together where you can come to an agreement. I see so many times people are so cold and so stubborn that no one wants to yield. Like I say, I'm not teaching male dominance here, but you should have such harmony in your home that a lot of the bickering and fighting and power struggles shouldn't even be going on, because you humbled yourself in the God looked at that marriage as a covenant. So when you came into contact with that husband, you became one. That's what the Bible said. He said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave his life for it. He did this to make the church holy by cleansing it, washing it, using water along with spoken words. Now, I'm reading out the God's Word translation. Then he could present it to himself as a glorious church without any kind of stain or wrinkle, holy, without fault. So husbands must love their wives as they love their own body. A man who loves his wife loves himself. Now that sums it up in a nutshell. If you love your wife like Christ loved the church, you're going to cover your wife. You're going to be supportive of your wife. Wives, it goes both ways. You're going to uphold your husband. You're going to make your husband feel like he's the king of your castle, not turn your husband down. But you want to build your husband up, because like I say, ladies, you may start out, but you never know the role where God is leading you. So you don't want to tear down your foundation in the elementary stages before you can get the house built. He said, a foolish woman, tear down a house with her own hands. What he said, you don't even need help to tear up your house. You already turn it up. And especially when you let unsaved people, ungodly people, talk against your spouse or talk against your relationship, you shouldn't do that as a Christian. How can an ungodly person tell you anything about your relationship and you two are supposed to be godly men and women of God? That's why I say you should seek wise counsel. You should seek someone who has paved the way, who are mature in God. You don't let nobody immature talk in your life. You need to be seeking somebody out. Say, look, if we have this problem, take it to Lord and take it to someone mature that can pray with you, that can talk with you, that can help you through this thing. Because a lot of times,
praise God. For some reason, it just disconnected. So that's what I told you, live radio. Sometimes we get that, you know. So, amen. So at this time, we will bring on Pastor, and he will come and bring the word of God. Amen.
Okay. All right, caller, hello, 1186.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, we're here. Yes.
No, so I was able to call in to into the show, and I wanted to listen in on tonight.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's fine. We'll continue on with the show, and we're going to go into a different phase of it right now. We were having some technical difficulties, but look like we've worked all of that out. So we're going to go into another aspect of our program, building a godly and mature relationships.
Okay,
what
Bishop.
We've done. Yeah. So what we have, what we're getting ready to go to now, we're going to go into the mature aspect of it.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go into a different phase of it. So just hold on. And thanks for calling in. All right. Well, praise God. Praise the Lord. We want to thank the Lord for everything that Evangelist Montgomery spoke on. Yeah, we want to thank the Lord for everything that Evangelist Montgomery spoke on. But now we're going to go into a different phase. We're going to go into the spiritual mature aspect of it. We're coming out of Hebrews 6, 1 through 2. And now these verses are only two verses, but it covers a whole lot of different things, and we're going to deal with all of those at this particular point. Now, it says Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, it says, therefore let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, that's Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Now, Paul is saying that these things that I just mentioned were elementary. They are things that they are things that we shouldn't just talk about continually. They are the beginning aspects of salvation. They are the beginning aspects of Jesus Christ. They are the beginning aspects of God. They are the beginning aspects of Scripture. They are the beginning aspects of Spirit. In other words, they are the newborn babe aspect of Christianity. You've just been brought into Christ, so all these things, instructions about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, Paul said that these things are elementary. So what is he talking about? What is he getting to? What is the end result of all of this that we're speaking of? Now, it's interesting that when we talk about maturity, it's just like a physical birth. When a baby is born, you don't expect that baby to be a baby when he's 20 years old. If he was 20 years old and he was the same as an infant in his physical and his physique, you would say something is wrong. Well, that's basically the same way it is in the spirit also. When you come into the knowledge of Christ, you are a babe. And so you will act like a babe. You will speak like a babe. But Paul said, when I was a child, I acted as a child. But when I became mature, I put away childish things. So what is he talking about? Now, when we talk about maturity, we're talking about all of this in the realm of the Spirit, in the realm of the Lord, in reference to Jesus Christ. Now, when you talk about mature or maturity, you know, we all have an idea of what that means, but let's talk about it in reference to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is talking about and in what the Word of God is talking about. Now, maturity, I'll just go from the Greek. It means telos or teleos, which means mature, from going through the necessary stages to reach the end goal. It says, developed into a consummating completion by fulfilling the necessary process of the spiritual journey. Now, it also means reaching the end or the aim. Unfolding, extending out one stage at a time to function at full strength, capacity, effectiveness. So when you're talking about maturity, we're talking about something that's going to involve a period of time. Just like I said with the baby, just like your physical body. You're not born and then 2 days later you're 25-year-old. No. You're born, then you go into your teenage years, you mature, then you go into young adulthood, then you go into elders, then you get old. But in all that process, you're maturing, or you're learning, you're reaching an aim to adulthood, eldership, and maturity. The things that you did as a child when you get 45 or 50 years old, you shouldn't be doing those things. You shouldn't be doing those things. Some things of immaturity or childlikeness should fall off. Now, all of us are going to have an element of childishness all through our life because we have a mind, we remember youthful things. There's going to be some things that we love, that youth we're going to love through our whole age. For example, some people might love fishing. So they're not going to quit fishing when they get old because they did it when they were young. They're going to continue to fish because they like to do that. But that was something that they adopted when they were young. They kept doing it. There's nothing wrong with that. But what we're talking about things that are detrimental to our spiritual growth. And some of the things that we're getting ready to talk about, it goes into our relationship also. So being mature in God is also going to help us to be mature in our physical and natural relationship with our husband and wife and with everyone that we come in contact with. Now, let me get into some things here in reference to this spiritual maturity. Say, building a godly and mature relationship. Godly and mature relationship. Many relationships have problems in them because, just like Evangelist Montgomery said, because God is absent in the relationship. Now, we all know that people can have good and healthy relationships in a marriage or relationships period without necessarily being saved. But one thing I would like to say in that regard is that salvation has a lot to do with and really helps to have mature relationships and healthy relationships, because it's much more difficult for the, it should be much more difficult for the enemy to get in a godly relationship than someone or a relationship that is void of God. I'd like to say that. Okay, praise God. Now, we're going to go into a different aspect of this thing here. We're going to talk about maturity. We're going to talk about spiritual infancy is a lack of growth after the new birth. One thing I want to say is that a person can be saved for a short period of time, and for some reason or another, they can be more mature than somebody that's been saved a long period of time, because godly maturity is not based upon physical age. It's based on your closeness and your relationship and your study and your love of Jesus Christ and your obedience to Jesus Christ and how you obey the word of God. Now, that will cause and help you to mature in God. Now, I'm going to read some things to you. All right. Spiritual infancy is a lack of growth after the new birth. Okay. Now, spiritual infant is concerned with self rather than service. I want you all to listen. The spiritual infant is concerned with argument rather than action. The spiritual infant looks to people rather than the master. Now, I'm going to read these things over, and then I'm going to go into some other things here. Now, listen. The spiritual infant has a lack of growth after the new birth. It's supposed to be growth. Now, this growth is in reference to what Jesus said that growth is. Growth is. It's in reference to what the Word of God says that spiritual growth is. All right? It's in reference to the instruction of the Holy Ghost to what spiritual growth is. All right? It's not in reference to what men necessarily say spiritual growth is. It all goes back to God, Christ, the Word of God. That's where the spiritual maturity goes. That's where it goes. That's where it comes from. And that's where it goes. All right. The spiritual infant is concerned with self rather than service. The spiritual infant is concerned with argument rather than action. The spiritual infant looks to people rather than the master. Now, look at this here. Now, God wants us to leave the elementary principles of Christ. Now, we talked about what those were. Instructions about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, all of this is good doctrine, but that is not where our belief and our maturity stops. That's where it starts. We learn these things, and we go on from there. We don't make our relationship on these things, but we make our relationship in the fruit of the Spirit and the obedience to Christ. Because all those things are prerequisites or learnings in salvation. Salvation is just the start of our relationship. Salvation is just the start to Christ and salvation. That's the infant stage. The Lord wants us to come past all of that and look into the depth of Christ. Now, it says to leave, but we don't abandon those things, but these are the elementary principles about Christ. God in Christ wants us to progress beyond these things. Now, it says, what are the elementary principles? They are mentioned as repentance, faith, baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection, and eternal judgment. In short, these are basic doctrines. They're basic doctrines. We need to move on from there. Now, we must realize that the most basic and fundamental doctrine we must know and believe is that Jesus is God in flesh. You see? But that's elementary, John 1 and 1 and 14. He said, Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross. That's elementary. 1 Peter 2:24, who died, was buried, and rose from the dead. That's 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. And that we are justified by faith. Romans 4:1 through 5. Now, the scripture saying that all what I just said is elementary. It's the starting of our salvation. It's what we should know as basics. As basics. But check this out. Consider all this. So it's due to Christ's work on the cross that we are able to press on to maturity. Because of our salvation, because of what Christ did for us, we can go into maturity because of what Christ did. But we don't dwell in the elementary. We go on from there. Now the Greek word, let me get into something. Now, the Greek and Hebrew literally says, therefore, leaving the word of Christ of the beginning, the word beginning, Greek is argon, means the beginning or origin. So we go from just the element of salvation, baptism, and all this thing. We go from there, and we go forward. We don't stay a baby. We don't stay drinking milk. We go on to the meat. And what is the meat? The meat, really, when you really want to get down to it, it is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the giftings of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to get into all these things. Now, Christ's teachings on the basis are what the author of Hebrews is getting at. The basics are to be studied, fed upon as an infant would feed upon milk. Once the foundation has been laid, you are to improve not only in your understanding, but in your practice and attitudes concerning spiritual things. Concerning spiritual things. Concerning spiritual things. Now, doctrine is important. It's very important. They say without the doctrine, we couldn't be saved. It defines who we believe in, what we believe concerning him, and what he requires of us. These are essential to the faith that the Bible states are non-negotiable. The deity of Christ, the resurrection, salvation by grace. So you see where this is going. But that is still elementary. So where are we going? We're going to go to a different phase here. It says, maturity is when your understanding of truth and your action are one and the same. Maturity is when your understanding of truth and your action are one of the same. God wants us to mature in Christ. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Therefore, leaving. Now, these are various. Let me go on. See, the word for perfection or maturity in the Greek is teleotes. It means a perfecter, one who has in his own person raised faith to his perfection and so set before us the highest example of faith. This is the level of maturity that God wants from you, a perfect faith. Now, a perfect faith is evidenced by your life, by your speech, by your character, by how you carry yourself. The only way to perfect your relationship with God and improve your walk in holiness is to do it by faith and obedience to his word. Listen to this. God does not command where he does not provide or empower. So when God is commanding or when he's giving us his word, he also provides for us and empowers us to obey his word. God works faith in the believer, John 6:29. God has given everyone a measure of faith, Romans 12:3. And it says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. That's James 1:22. So listen to this here. I'm going to get into some things here and then I'm going to go on. So you can mature and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Say, as we were speaking of before, maturity is perfection, teleotes. It comes from the Greek word telos, which means to make perfect, to carry through, complete, to accomplish, finish, bring to an end, to accomplish. So in reference to maturity, as we said earlier, there is a process to it. But the process is by God, by the Holy Ghost, by Christ, by and through the Word of God. Okay? But it is a process. But there should be growth. When you get saved, there should be growth when and after you get saved. You should not be at the same point you were when you got saved 5, 6, or 7 years later, or even 6 or 7 months later. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing, all right? Now, that's where we're going. Now, listen to this in Philippians 1:6. Says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Perfection, maturity, according to the word of God, according to the Spirit. Now it says, now let me go a little further here. I want to get into some things here. I'm going to drop down a little bit and talk about some things in reference to maturity, in reference to infancy, in reference to a definition and what it shows to be mature and what it shows to be an infant in Christ. Now, we always say, well, an infant, a baby, you don't know too much about the word, or he slip and slide every now and then. We know about that, but we shouldn't be that way after a while. But let me get into some things in reference to the spiritual maturity. Let's go to Colossians 4:12. Now, 4:12 reads, a preface who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greeting. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Now, this particular brother who was going with Paul, walking right with the Apostle Paul, Epaphras, he was constantly praying for other brothers and sisters in Christ, that they may mature and be fully assured in Jesus Christ in the faith in the Lord. Hebrews 5:14 also reads, to distinguish between good from evil, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, Matthew 19, it also means, in reference to sacrifice, the first aspect was of maturity in reference to doing the will of God and not necessarily what you want, but the will of God. Now, we have another aspect of maturity in reference to sacrifice. It says, Jesus answered, Matthew 19:21, Jesus answered the rich young ruler. He said, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. So it also involves sacrifice of yourself, of the things you want. Sometimes the thing you have, sometimes the thing you love. That's going into spiritual maturity. Now, I said also it means love. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Says, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. So you see, maturity also goes into love and the perfection and reverence to love. Now, this is one of the most important things. It says, sacrifice, obedience to God, distinguishing good from evil, all are perfected in love. All are only possible in love. But we're not talking about a worldly love. We're talking about the love of God, the love of Christ, that agape love. It's a special, unconditional love. Comes straight from the Father. So Jesus told us what the first and greatest commandment is. He said, love your life, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus also said this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, I mean all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, John 13:34-35. Now, consider this. Consider this. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Come on. All right. Glory to God. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Technical difficulties. All right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, Now, we're still talking about spiritual maturity here, and we're going to get into aspect of infancy in Christ. So, all right, we're going to talk about, all right. Now, it says here, it could be said that true spiritual maturity is the spirit, is of the spirit, not simply of mind, which is why Paul says, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. He is saying, let us progress beyond the basics and start living what we claim to know. It says, it could be said that the level of maturity that is desired by Paul could be summed up in the doctrine of love, because that is what Jesus is, incarnate love. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8 says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. It says love that is other-centered. Hear that? Love that is other-centered. You've heard me say 100 times, for God so loved the world, he gave, he loves, he gives. Love sacrifices. Love considers another more important. Love rejoices in the well-being and safety of another. Love begets honesty and integrity and character. Love unites people together, brings out forgiveness, and even anoints the hearts of God's people to contemplate on holiness, purity, forgiveness, humility, patience, and more. God wants you to be mature. God wants maturity. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press to maturity. Notice in verses 4 and 6, the writer speaks of being enlightened, tasting the heavenly gift, having been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and those having fallen away cannot be renewed again to repentance, because they again crucify themselves, the Son of God, anew. Say, this particular sermon is not about what it means, but it's about the centrality of Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. But we're going to go down a little further. Okay. Going to go down a little further, and we're going to get into some conclusion of this matter here. And we're going to talk some more later, but we're going to kind of bring it to a conclusion now. Now, we talked about what maturity in Christ is, dealing with love, dealing with the love of God, obedience to the word, and all this. But check out what infancy in Christ is, or infancy in the gospel. Now, this is infancy. And infancy in babyhood, in childlikeness, it says, in infancy there is selfishness, quarreling, arguments, divisions, unreconciled relationships, unforgiven memories, and all such sins such as this. But in maturity there is unity, reconciliation, healing, and of course the manifestations of the love of Christ. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we are able to escape the bonds of self-centered sin and grow in loving relationship with Christ as we press on towards maturity. Listen, are you manifesting the true maturity that God wants of you? Are you seeking to grow in grace, knowledge, and the love of God? It is not mere doctrine that makes one mature. It is living the love of God in your heart, words, and deeds. So you see, when you are mature in Christ Jesus, it's going to cause your relationship to be sweet and peaceful and godly, because you won't be fussing and arguing and quarreling and fighting. You won't be unforgiven or unforgiving. That is all baby stuff. Christ God wants us to mature. So I'm going to close it off at that. Our time is about up. So I'm closing it out. We're going to continue next week with our maturity in relationships, godly maturity in relationships. But to everyone out there who is listening, praying for you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask that you bless everyone that's listening on tonight. Touch their hearts and souls, Lord, and help them to mature in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That they will fulfill your word and obey you and come into the fullness of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. See you next week. Bye.